Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank you for that which we pray for others. We know we pray for ourselves. And that is a greater awareness that wherever we are on the path, we are walking alongside of, or rather I should say, you are walking alongside of and instructing and encouraging and often carrying us. Not to those difficulties in life, but through them. For you are our Lord, and as you demonstrated for us, you proved on this day that it was for the joy set before you that you endured the cross. May that joy be ours, and may your Spirit give us guidance, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. I would like to tell you that I forgot a prayer request today because I wanted to make a lesson. The truth is, I forgot to put that prayer request on there because, as many of you know me, I'm very absent-minded. You can tell me things, and most of you know, and you're always kind. Nobody gets too frustrated. You have to ask me for things once and twice, and even when I'm saying this, I remember there's some things that I'm still needing to do, which I'll get around to. But I'm pretty absent-minded. Do any of you ever forget anything? Do any of you ever not remember something? Well, it's interesting in this passage, in what that Jen read in verse 8, it says, "And they remembered his words." Now, in the Greek, it's a lot stronger than that. It says, they all of a sudden remembered. It was like it just came to them. You know that sensation. You can't think of something. It's right on the tip of your tongue. You know it as well as you know your own name, but you cannot force yourself to bring it out, and then all of a sudden, oh, it pops into your head. Well, that's what happens here. Remembering. It's to bring into the present. Now, I need you to do a little translating for me. We think of the word remembering differently as Greek Westerners than Israelites, Hebrews, Easterners thought. For us, memory is something, it's just an intellectual thing. We recollect. It's a mental recollection for us Westerners. But for the people that would have received this message, Eastern people, they understand memory is that you become one in the process of remembering. A good example of that would be if I got together with a group of fellows who had served together in the military. If I got together with two or three guys that had served together in the same as paratroopers, or you know, if they fought at D-Day or in Vietnam, and I listened to them, I could remember in the Western sense. I could be hearing data and facts and incidents that I've read about, and when I heard them, I could remember, but it'd all be intellectual. But you know how it is when old buddies get together and they share stories. As Bruce Springsteen sang about those glory days, you get together and you just share about high school, or about incidents that you experience together. That's the way this is. It isn't, oh yeah, I remember that now. It's recreating it in the moment that you remember. And that's what Springsteen says. That's what you know when you get together with friends. We sometimes use the phrase, it's a friendship, we don't see each other much, but when we get together, we pick up right where we left off. You know that sensation? It's because of experience. That's what is happening here. And we see that experience. We see that experience in the following passage that Jen didn't read, but I'd like us to, one of my favorite, beginning in verse 13. The very day two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things, i.e. the death and burial of Jesus. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So you get the picture, he's sort of behind them, but aware of what they're talking about, and he comes up and he's walking alongside of them for this 2-hour trip. But verse 16, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He just looked like a stranger to them. And he said to them, "What is the conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still and looked sad. And then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him. And the irony here is so great. "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem that doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" I mean, there's some real sarcasm here. "You mean to tell me of all the people that could have pulled up beside us to walk, you're the only idiot that doesn't know what just happened?" And he's saying it to the one who just went through what just happened. So the irony is amazing. And in life, sometimes our irony, after the fact, we see how amazing. So they continue. And he said to them, verse 16, "What things?" Jesus never rebukes us honest questioners. He doesn't rebuke them for the sarcasm. He asks them very genuinely, "What things?" He wants to draw it more out. And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one." We had hoped that he was the one. Proverbs says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." You understand that, don't you? There are things you've hoped for, and they didn't come about. There are things you have hoped for and are hoping for, and the longer you hope, it's tough to hold on and hope. So we understand what they're going through, and they're expressing it without knowing all these details and confessing honestly to Jesus. "We hoped he had been the one to redeem Israel. Yes, besides in all this," verse 21, "it is now the third day since these things happened. In addition to this, we've got some of the women of our company amazing us. They're telling us the tomb was empty and they found no body." Verse 24, "Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see." Now, I got to tell you, if I had been in their shoes and somebody said, "Someone died, someone was buried, they went to his grave, and it was empty," what would you immediately think? "Someone moved the body." So we've got to cut them some slack. They are thinking the same way we would. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And I would have loved to have been there for this. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in the scriptures the things concerning himself." So they drew near to the village, probably a couple hours later, to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Abide with us, stay with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with him, their table, their house, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Sound familiar to you? He is having communion. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Now, let me point out a couple things. We talk about Jesus being living, and he is. But he's not only living, he's here. He's front and center. And I want to point out two of the discussions that they had. We see, first of all, by their own admission, when they were walking along the Damascus Road and he was preaching the gospel to them, their hearts burned within them. We'd use the word they were convicted. They knew as they heard the word that what he was saying was true. The Holy Spirit brings that and convicts us. It doesn't feel good to be convicted, does it? Has anyone ever brought a word to you and you knew they were right, but you also wished they had kept their mouth shut, kept it to themselves? Have you ever had that little voice inside of you that you try to quiet because you don't like what it's saying, but it's louder? And we don't like conviction. And I wouldn't like conviction either if I didn't have the joy of telling you the second part. See, their hearts burned while they were walking, but their eyes were opened when they received the bread at the table. See, this table is, I don't want to call it an aid to the remembrance, for it's far more than that. But if you understand remembrance in the way I describe of allowing you to experience with the one you went through, then we'll say that. This do in remembrance of me. When we come together, our hearts have been convicted by the word, but then we come to this table of healing. And like war buddies that went through the fire together, they remember. Like school chums that had experiences, some good, some bad, but when they get together, they talk and they remember, they're experiencing it all over. When Martin Luther did his first communion, he was so overwhelmed with the experience that his hand shook to the point that he spilt the wine. Now, I'm not encouraging you to spill anything this morning, but I am encouraging you to understand and to remember that this isn't just cognitive. We are experiencing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of God. Let me close by pointing out a little textual gem that's wonderful. When you see in that phrase, when they were talking, and he says in verse 30, or they say in verse 30, and or verse 31, and their eyes were opened. That phrase is only used one other time in Scripture. And in the Septuagint, it's used in the exact same Greek phrase. It's used in Genesis. When Adam and Eve got us into that problem, the problem we have, remember when they ate the fruit because they wanted to be like God and their eyes were opened? Jesus came and fixed that. They wanted to be like God, but the fix was God needing to become man. So that now through His work and this table, our eyes can be opened. We can see and be healed. Amen.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
You see right that you are thanks and praise.
Thanks and praise to our hearts, Almighty God, for you are the Lord of creation and new creation, of covenant and new covenant. You brought your people out of slavery to freedom in the promised land. And you brought your son from the depths of death to the glory of resurrection life. And so we gladly thank you with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Joy and gladness are our song, redeeming God. For in your conquest of death, we see the destiny of every hope in you. Come among us in the power of your Holy Spirit, that your children may be blessed with power and grace, that this bread and this cup may become for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, And again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Hope and glory are our bread, merciful God, for you have rolled away the stone of despair, the stone of oppression, the stone of lament, the stone of grief, the stone of death, the stone of sin, the stone of fear. Come and stand among us and breathe on us your peace. Breathe on us your power. Breathe on us your eternal life. That all who labor, all who stumble, all who hunger, and all who fall shall meet you in the breaking of the bread and be lifted up by your touch. Shape your church to be your risen body. Make our scars beautiful like your scars. Make our lives life-giving like your life. And make our communion holy with your saints until you come again in glory and we eat with you in your kingdom. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God.
Amen.